You're listening to The Kylo Show, the podcast where we talk about how to keep your love on no matter what and why whole healthy families are going to save the world. And it starts right now.
Hello and welcome to The Kylo Show. I'm here with my mom.
Hey.
And we are wrapping up our series that we've done on women. Mm-hmm. We've had some fun conversations. Yep. It was just the two of us at the beginning. And then we've had some friends of ours sprinkled in between. Just wonderful women that are leading and being moms and wives and sisters. And so we just wanted to put them on display and for you to get to know them a little bit. And what's fun is that you have a ladies group.
Yes.
So you kind of pulled from that a little bit.
Yeah. They're all very powerful go-getters in their field. But we're all very normal women, very just problems that we deal with and things we think about. I think there's a theme through that as well. But all those ladies, you can find them all on their socials because they are all leading something or movers and shakers. Yeah. But yeah, I wanted to have a group of women that would cheer each other on and also, you know, correct and have hard conversations. It takes time, you know, and I think we're talking about women. To have friends and sisters and moms in your life, you have to really cultivate it and put it in your busy schedule to make it authentic. Otherwise, it's just surface. How's the kids? How's, you know.
In the passing.
Yeah, you know. And then if you want to go deeper, you're going to have to invest.
You said that we're looking for apostolic leaders in different expressions. And so we have that, you know. Ruthie is a fashion blogger.
Yep.
And she's
Ruthie Ridley.
Been very successful. Yeah. And she's been really open about her faith and what she believes and standing for that. So it's been fun to see throughout the years. Becky Johnson's the executive pastor at Jesus Culture. So she's leaning in and she's out and speaking and traveling and stuff like that.
Super responsible.
And Deborah is very much a businesswoman in that she's got multiple businesses and they are just carrying that kingdom culture with finance and vision and helping people dream
big. Prophetic. Yeah.
She's very prophetic. And then Rochelle is, I mean, she's like this mighty little general.
Yeah.
This woman is, she's in the trenches on just because she's in the city in some of the roughest situations, but she does not back down or cower, as you've heard.
Yeah.
She is very brave, very courageous.
Yeah.
And, I mean, she's been...
She's a radical worship leader as well.
But she's been running that ministry.
Yeah.
City of Refuge for a long time 20 now.
20 plus years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So again, just ladies that are leading and doing it well in their own way. As you saw, they're all very different. They all have different personalities. Some podcasts that you may have seen were louder than the others. We did joke that Ruthie probably by far had the best outfit. But that's what she does.
That's her job.
That's what she does. So... but yeah, the Kylo Show never looked so good. It was just full of beautiful women. So
yeah.
It was lots of fun. But today, though, as we finish this up and just kind of speak to women and dive in a bit more, we're going to kind of lean into what we do really well here at Love and Purpose is is highlight our relationship with God, self, and others, but specifically with women. And how does that, what do we need to be paying attention to? What do we need to be growing? What are some common areas that occur in those relationships? Maybe some pitfalls, blind spots, some victories. Yeah. So we're just going to kind of talk through that a little bit just to put that on display and keep the conversation going.
You know, our time with God, you know, relationship with the Lord, if you look at it, coming to Him, with all that you are, I think I remember not feeling like I had any time to sit down and cultivate it, or I'm so tired, I don't want to get up at six or whatever it is.
Especially if the kids didn't wake up at six in that season.
If I didn't make their lunches and lay their clothes out the night before, like hardly ever happened, you know. And so, you know, I don't think it's the quantity of time. Mm. It's that quality of time, that, and you can find that time to be with the Lord. You could do it in your car. You could have worship music playing as you're getting ready in the morning. You can try and filter your day and your problems, yeah, and your whatever's happening, life stuff,
yeah,
through the filter of a connection with the Lord. I think women are the soft side, the example of the Holy Spirit often is they feel things, they're nurturers, they're a comforter. And so when you have a whole list of things to do, might not feel very comforting to fire off instructions. So, but if you kind of ground yourself first before you start your day, or at some point in your day,
yeah,
you can bring that softer comfort side.
Yeah. Well, I think it's so crucial for us to be really confident in our identity in the Lord.
Yeah.
Because if I'm sure in Him, then I get to bring that assurance of who I am, what I carry to all the other places.
Right.
But if I'm off on who I am, then I look for comparison. Then I look for finding something somewhere else, which I think the women I meet with often, probably the biggest thing that they run into is that the Lord is no longer the source of their identity, but it becomes their children.
Okay,
or it becomes their spouse. And so I have this, I need a supernatural father to know who I am. But when I fill it with an earthly being, it never goes well.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I lack my ability to actually accomplish my assignment, to chase after what I'm meant to give away, or even see from who I am in my relationship with myself.
Yeah.
So learning to figure out how to nurture this relationship, like you're saying, whether it's in the morning or in the car. And I think that ideally it's sitting down with a cup of coffee and there's music
Bible,
playing in the
Kylo
back,
devotional.
You know, Kim's got us going. She's doing a great job singing. And then I'm just reading that powerful scripture and Psalms or Proverbs. That's not normally how my morning starts. Right. My morning starts with the dog licking my face because she's an aggressive toddler puppy. And then a child comes in or something, or I sleep because I'm tired. But the point is that I'm going to find space in my day because if I don't return back to Him at least once in my day, I look for confidence and security somewhere else, which is so damaging to all the other relationships I have.
I thought you were going to cuss right there. It's so damaging.
Damaging, I was
so damaging.
You can insert a colorful word if you want to, because that's the other reality. Is it's not going to work. It's going to be messy.
You're also talking about filters. So if I'm not, if I don't have the source being the Lord and my identity coming, I mean, I'm redeemed, I'm loved, I'm cherished. What's missing from that relationship? Nothing. I am everything. I'm complete because He makes me complete. But if I don't have that filter, I'm going to filter my day through all these other things, my husband, my job, my children. And then it goes into all the things that I'm not doing right. You know, I'm also a Mimi. You know, I'm a grandma. So there's all these roles I play.
Yeah.
And I can get my identity through that filter, which is flawed. And I shouldn't get all my identity from how I cleaned the house today or made soup and did laundry. You know, whatever. That filter's incomplete. So I should get my life and my instruction from the connection I have with the Lord, because it's absolutely complete, and it you know, it's the best filter I could have.
Yeah.
You know,
I think the paying attention to catching yourself when you've inserted a poor filter is really important to learn, because otherwise you just end up down this road and you're like, how did I even get in this dark alleyway that I've made for myself? And then we go, where are you, Lord? I'm like, well, He never left. It's you that turned down there. I think that for me, self-awareness has definitely played a helpful part in a reflection of how well am I doing with the Lord. That, because I'm naturally pretty critical of myself. And so when I live in this spin out zone and I can't find any good and I can't find any joy and any hope and it's quiet, then that's a good indicator, oh, the Lord's probably pretty quiet right now. Because I'm just filling it with my own
noise.
And it gets dangerous. So for me, I think self-awareness and that journey of self-awareness has created a really great, almost like a governor, like, oh, I hit this point. Like, oh, I need to turn around. I need to go back. I need to slow down. This is not good. Because if I just participate with that, it gets really nasty really quick.
I think it's funny that you're using racing terms.
Yeah, we didn't just watch a racing movie the other night. Okay. Yeah,
so. Well, a governor is something they put on a racing vehicle, especially when they have amateurs, so that you can't go over this limit.
Don't go any further.
Because we know you cannot handle going, your dad needs a governor. I need a governor on my side of the car that I activate when your father's driving. I'm just kidding. But that's good. Like self-awareness, that is the governor. It is the thing that stops you from going off the rails. It's the thing, you know, where are your boundaries, you know, so how do you get self-aware? What would you say?
Well, I mean, we've talked about this before, but we love the DISC. We love the Enneagram. There's Myers-Briggs. There's a color one now, apparently. I just took that one. I don't really know that one very well, so I'm not well-versed
in
it.
Are you Purple Circle? That's your color?
No. I was gold. I'm still figuring out what that means. But, you know, even love languages, I think if I'm low in this field in my relationship with Ben or even I'm low in like, I tattled on myself the other day, cause it's just been a really busy season.
Who are you tattling to?
I was tattling on myself to Christian.
Oh, okay.
A coworker. Yeah. Here we were meeting and I was just talking about like, it's been a crazy season of going to the gym. I feel like I'm going to the gym for, just leveling up and my speaking engagements, different things going on and what I'm leading. And I love it. Really grateful for it. I said yes to the Lord in it. And I'm loving the journey, but I'm kind of tired and I'm sore. And I said, you know, it was a really sad moment because I found myself reading the Bible because I had to prepare for a message. I wasn't reading the Bible to fill my spirit.
Yeah.
And it was a pretty big shock to my face. Like, why are you even doing this? And I was like, oh man, I need to stop because this is not why I go read the word. I can't go there to hope to manufacture something.
Yeah.
You know, God's goodness, he shows up, all those things I'm so grateful for. But I need to be really full, especially with the level of outgo that I've got going on. And so this has been a really interesting little season for me because I've been bulking up in other areas that I haven't in like this before, and I've just been really grateful for just God's heart to show up for me, and just so that when I do a good job of that, the criticalness quiets the shaming of my body or the constant dissatisfaction I have of I could be better, I should do this, I should do that. Like even that criticalness kind of quiets. Not that there's not room for growth. I'm not saying that. And there's lots of room for all of that. And I want health in all those areas. My marriage, with my kids, my closest friends. But it's just funny when you are off with the Lord.
Yeah.
And how quickly I feel like women are searching for the perfect moment to spend with the Lord that may never come.
Yeah.
And so it would be so much wiser for you to just go pursue and make it happen rather than look for the perfect moment.
That's right. Slow it down enough so that you can just find a couple moments. How many women out there right now are saying, well, with small children, that might be in the bathroom. I don't know. Whatever you need to do.
It might be with them. That's the other part. It's like, they're great little people to do it in front of.
And I think you mentioned, you know, we're talking about feedback or we're talking about self-awareness, but just getting feedback is really important besides the growing, you know, tools that you mentioned, but actual, like another human, even with your kids, like how are you experiencing me, you know? But I was going to ask you, you know, your kids are not your business world. Your kids are not your ministry. Your mm-hmm. you know, your kids are just these lovable people that trust you. So how do you create a culture of feedback at home where you trust each other and you're not hurt every time someone goes, can I tell you something or whatever? I think the culture of feedback and self-awareness is not normal in homes. It's not normal in business either very much. You have to create it. So how would you create a culture of feedback in a home with kids?
I think
and a husband, of course.
Yeah, I mean, being aligned with the Father, you know, and I'm doing a good job there, and I'm doing a good job with myself, which means when I do get feedback, I'm not shaming myself into my failures, that I see feedback as a potential for growth. I have to be able to have a value for feedback to create a culture for feedback. That's probably step.
And most people, let me give you some feedback. They're starting to shake right there.
Totally. So at home, I mean, the loudest message whenever Ben gives me feedback, I know it comes with Ben believes in me. Ben right. is for me. So I know that in our relationship that he is for me. And so the feedback he's giving me is not because he doesn't believe in me or that he's against me.
Or he thinks you failed or you're less than.
Any of that. It's for my own good.
So it's a baseline for every conversation. And you created that by truthing each other and responding to that.
Well, by having a value for it, by practicing it, by creating a safe space. So if my kids give feedback, I don't dismiss them or disregard them or justify why I don't have to hear it because I'm the adult and they're the child. I mean, Adeline's, we've been in
yeah,
it laughing.
A lot of yeah buts.
you can't do yeah and but because I always tell people, if you add a but right there, it's not sexy. Put it away. That's not the but that you want. And, but so Adeline has become more and more, she's growing up, she's a bit more like me than any of us expected to happen.
She's your middle.
She's the middle one. But she was the quietest one.
Yep.
And the goofiest one. She's still the goofiest one, but she's more and more pretty confident to confrontation, to voicing her opinion. She's still probably not as directly blunt as I will ever am, you know, and she, which is great. It's fine.
I have nothing to share about you being blunt or aggressive.
But what I love is that Adeline's seen it modeled by how we have conversations, by how I coach them to have conversations with each other, their siblings, how she's had conversations with Ben and I. So she feels confident enough to say, you guys are not being very fun, or why are you seem so angry? Like, and it's not like, hey, can I give you some feedback? Every now and then it comes out that way. But for the most part, it's just there is permission to communicate. The experience I'm having in this moment is not one that I'm enjoying. And because we have value for feedback and we've practiced this, we can recognize it here and go, oh, we don't want you to have this experience.
Right.
And so
that's the point that is really important, is you had to create it. It didn't just happen. You know, I grew up in the, for sure. My parents, if I would have tried to correct my dad, especially, he would have said, you know, yeah, but you caused that to happen, because there was never any responsibility taken on his part, because I'm the child and he's the dad. There was, you know, that's just the way it is. But that, if that's the culture you were raised in, that's the culture you'll create. You have to change it. And I think it comes from the conversation where you're locked up, let's say with Ben or a child or us or whoever. The culture, the bridge in which you're standing on is strong because you've been working on it and repairing it. And I think if you're locked up with a child or they were fighting amongst themselves, you wouldn't just say, stop it, go to your rooms. Like, what's going on underneath? And then all of a sudden your culture pops up. You know, what's going on behind this argument you're having? And you sit them down and say, hey, what's going on? There's this bridge that you've built that's strong that they can repair their relationships. Mm-hmm. But you have to work at it. You can't just read a book or listen to a podcast or whatever, and it changes. It actually has to be built.
Yeah.
And it's work at first, but once it's built, it's the foundation for all communication. I just think it's so important to create that world of feedback in your, even with your kids when they're little.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, because going back to our God, self, and others, if I'm off with God, I'm off with self, and I'm off with others, which, you know, that's a good indicator if you're not doing a good job with the Lord, is that usually your others' relationships is all wonky. And yeah. it's full of insecurities. And I think that's the other thing to, even with our relationship with other women, is that if I've got a bunch of insecurities going on, I can't bring the best Brittany to this relationship. You know, I can't, and being aware of your insecurities, like I was laughing, we were in this meeting last night and it's full of all these powerful people and we are the youngest ones in this meeting. And I'm looking at them all thinking, okay, I feel slightly insecure because I'm not this, I mean, I'm growing in my leadership. Obviously, I always will have probably the lowest scale view of myself. This is kind of, again, we already talked about that, but I'm looking at all these leaders going,
everyone does.
Hey, they are business owners, almost everyone in this room, and we all have very different expressions. They're all older than me. And you have this choice of, do I go back to the truth, which is, God, this is who you say I am. And then I have my relationship with myself, which is learning how to quiet that inner critic, and then leaning into this moment and going, okay, I'm in this room for a reason. I'm not in this room on accident. I'm not in this room because who my parents are. I'm in this room because I've stewarded something. So I can give into my insecurities mm-hmm. and disregard all the truth all the way up to the Father. Or I can partner with all the truth and lean in and bring who I am to this room.
And then you're benefiting others because you didn't get
stuck. Because I didn't get stuck.
I think getting stuck and hiding mm-hmm. are some of the biggest things that happen. And there's a way out of that. So what would you say to people that were like, I should ask it this way. Are there areas where you feel like when you're aware that you're hiding, that you, how do I get out of here?
Well, I mean, everybody's different. So I would say, I don't know how because I'm an intense personality. So my mm-hmm. default is I want self-awareness. So I don't want to just consume the room because of my insecurities. That's one way you do it is that you just blabber nonstop and you shouldn't. I love Margaret Nagib because she talks about checking in with your body. So is my heart racing? Am I getting flush? Do I feel this butterflies in my chest type of experience? If any of those are yes, that's usually an indicator that I'm partnering with some kind of fear. So the
listening to your body, mm-hmm. that's good.
And then I go, okay, who do you want to be in this group, Brittany? Do you want to be absent? Do you want to be silent? Do you want to, because all these people have a separate relationship with you. So they know you as this. And if you're not going to show up at this table, then you're letting this win. So for me, it's just leaning in, being aware. I'm going to speak that has value because of what I have to say is valuable. I'm going to pay attention to my body. I'm not going to cower. So again, I think the first step is going back to all the truth that I know and then coming back and saying, what are you going to do? And if my body's giving me these triggers, I usually lean in. And the best way that I know how to confront it is to just do something. Mm-hmm. And so then I just start having conversations. And usually it all fades away and I go back to, oh, that's right. That's why I'm in this room.
Yeah. There's the gal that used to run Google. She wrote a book called Lean In, actually. Mm-hmm. Sandberg, I think is her last name. Anyway, the idea of showing up at a table full of men, too, was the one in her, you know, book. She talked about that. But I do think, you know, we both have a personality of, you know, we'll lean into our problem, we'll push forward and not totally. Shrink back, you know, let's take the land. You know, that's
us. We have
us.
No problem with that.
Yes, but even in that confidence, there's a fear of saying something wrong, doing something wrong, being perceived a certain way. And those are all the enemy's tactics to silence you. Mm-hmm. You, when you're cultivating those kind of thoughts, you're not yourself. And the benefit that you provide isn't showing up because those are indications like, I'm going to have to do something to get out of here.
Yeah. I mean, we all have insecurities. None of those are, we're not free of that. It's what we do with those insecurities. And we all have an invitation to have a relationship with the Lord that influences our relationship with ourselves and with others. And it's completely up to us if we choose to nurture that relationship with the Lord. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how to express enough how important it is that you do nurture that relationship. Mm-hmm. Because if he's not the one that's filling you up, something else will.
Yeah.
And it will never be enough. And you'll always fall short. And then you'll just live out of those insecurities.
Yeah.
So staying connected to the Father is only going to help yourself and others and the relationships you have with other women and creating mm-hmm. sisters and those covenant relationships, you know, like the ladies talked about on the other podcast, just it's so valuable. And that's why it's so crucial that we go and find our source and identity in him so that we can do the work of, okay, what do I need to work on me? Mm-hmm. And what can I then bring to others?
Yeah, it's good.
So we're going to jump into questions and we'll be back in just a minute. All right, well, we're going to jump into questions now. But just know that the ladies are concluding our journey here and we're going to hand it over to the men. And so if you have any questions for the guys or questions around men or men, I would encourage you to ask questions. We get lots of questions from ladies, which I'm not mad about. But men, if you want to lean in and press in and just have some great questions answered by the greats, because that's all we got around here is great men, that's coming up next. So make sure you DM us on Instagram, Danny Steele, Loving on Purpose, or you can message me, Brittany Sterple, Loving on Purpose, and we'll get your questions onto the show. So with that, we will jump into the first couple questions we've got here. I will read it to you and we'll go from there. If you're an influencer on social media, specifically influencing women, what is your responsibility when it comes to the message you're sending about what it means to be a successful woman?
Yeah, it's just a weird world on mm-hmm. social media. It's the word influencer is even strange because just because you don't have a job of influencing people doesn't mean you're not an influencer in your life, in others around you. So anyways, we're all influencers. You don't get off the hook because you're getting paid for it.
Or you only have a couple hundred versus thousands.
And I think social media in general, no matter what platform you're on, can be a place where you just show up as having it all together. Now, I do think there are some really funny people out there that give us examples of real life. Like I think you and we mentioned on the last show, but we saw that meme that said, so you're a working mom. Brittany, you're a working mom. But we don't ever say, you're a working dad.
Yeah.
Yes, we all work. But I think we have a tendency to go, you know, everything's all great over here. But the opposite, when you say what kind of responsibility do you have, I wouldn't think it would be healthy to go the other way where I just sit and tell you all of my woes and all the things I struggle with on my social media as well. So what's the responsibility? I think live authentically. Mm-hmm. Before there was social media, that's how you knew who someone was. They were the same people at work as they were at home. And if you would go to their house, and they would be completely different people, like mean and sort of aggressive or snippy. Or if you're a woman, you're griping all the time, or a man has just disengaged, or both parties could be doing those things. And then at work, they're happy. It's like, something's wrong here. But I think social media does this. Everything's right all the time. And so the responsibility, it's a long answer, is be yourself no matter where you are.
Yeah.
And create a community of people that will tell you when you're not being yourself.
Sure. Yeah, I find this question, it makes me giggle because, guys, I'm so beyond normal and kind of boring. That's how I feel about my life. That it's not very exciting, but I'm happy to share my life and the victories because I want to influence people. I wouldn't say it's just targeted specifically to women, but I know we're talking about women here. But I want to give courage away always. I want people to find courage in how I'm communicating. I want people to find courage in the stories that I tell. I want you to find courage to lean back in for your marriage. I want you mm-hmm. to find hope. You know, Ben and I talk about you bring the problems, we'll bring the hope. And that's how we want to live.
Yeah.
So social media is it's a way that we've been able to expand in the world to see us. But my responsibility is that if this is what God's called me to do and give my life to, whether it is just in my home church or on a big old huge stadium, I want it to be the same. I want to be obedient to what the Lord's called me to do, and I want to steward that well. And so bringing hope and courage mm-hmm. and truth, and I think I'm the feedback I've gotten from people at different events and through social media is that I'm relatable, and they can see their flaws and their mess and their victories and their hope. And I'm like, awesome. If I get to be that encourager to you in that way, then I will take that on. But really my responsibility is to the Lord. Yeah. I wouldn't say it's to anybody on that fan base of whatever followers I have. It's to the Lord first, and I'm going to live convicted through him, and you can watch. How about
it's
that?
It's very deceiving when you get all these followers or you think that that's some sort of a success when the success really is who you're rubbing elbows with.
Well, is my marriage successful? Yeah. Are my kids doing well? Am I doing okay on the inside?
Yeah.
That's the real story. And then how is my relationship with the Lord? Am I still absolutely convicted in who he's called me to be in my relationship with him. Because mm-hmm. that's what I feel responsible to. And I'm happy. You get the overflow.
Have yeah.
it. And then you can have all that.
I have no desire to fight on social media. Totally. I don't like fighting anyway. I will. As you know me, I will fight. But I think that's the other thing for social media is I have a lot of opinions about stuff that's going on. And my close friends and family know exactly what those are. I just don't have any desire to put stuff up there that causes a quarrel to begin. I just think, what is the point of that? That is living a fake life for me. Like you're just
unless I feel convicted that it's something that needs to be shared or that we're talking about.
Yeah,
you being offended at it, I'm happy to listen.
I think it's more about
I'm not trying to provoke.
Not your value systems, because mm-hmm. your values should be on display for sure. It's
judgment and criticism.
Yeah, or just political stuff or whatever. We live in a crazy world right now. But
it is. It's a little wild. But yeah.
I guess everybody's called to something different. I do have friends that are very vocal out there, and I just think, well, I'm not called to that. But there are a few that are turning in tables over or whatever they're doing.
Totally. That's very true. All right. Another question is, what has been your most humbling moment as a wife?
Well, do I only have to pick one?
Yeah. It doesn't say list all of them.
I just mean there's probably too many. Oh, gosh. A humbling moment. You want to go first?
You want me to go first?
Yeah.
Ben, the saying is the first one to humble themselves wins. I always tell people Ben always wins. Ben is the winner.
Ben's the winner.
At this game, always. I think humbling moment, and it's been a growth journey, would be my intensity that I used to bring to Ben and the hostility even to something that I'm thinking I'm going to have to defend and protect. I have learned over these 20 years this month, that it is not necessary. And so anytime I bring that and I forget, I don't need that with him. He is not going to take me to the mat and be aggressive or mean. So the fear and anxiety that I might be having and I put that on display is unnecessary. So that's been probably the biggest thing that I've learned and worked on in our marriage is I don't have to get angry. I don't have to get mean. I don't have to get overly intense like I used to in the early days. You know, we just had a conversation not too long ago and I was intense. I'm just intense. I would say intense and mean are feel different for me. But it was so mild compared to Brittany 15 years ago, mm-hmm. you know. And so that's been my journey of trying to humble myself and get back to this place of Ben is tender and he loves me and he's for me and he's not ever going to try and be mean and hurtful. So I don't need to bring that level of defense mm-hmm. and intensity. So that's probably what I'm always being humbled in over mm-hmm. and over again is my anger is not necessary.
I think for me, whenever I'm being taught something that whether it's the Lord or my husband or my kids, I think those moments of, oh, I'm in the student seat right now and my job is to show up and learn. And those are humbling moments for me. I think any time, you know, obviously almost 40 years of marriage, we work out. There's still some stuff. There's always stuff, but mm-hmm. I just mean some of the roughness is gone. But I think anytime Danny's having to slow down and teach me something, maybe it's relational or it's just information that's going to cause me to grow in this area. It's humbling. It would be humbling if a friend was doing that or you or my sons or whatever. But I think as a wife, probably.
Yeah.
That's been very constant in my life is, okay, we are here for each other to help each other grow. And so I'm coming in. I'm going to show you something right here. Like Danny said, I'm going to touch your eyeball.
Yeah.
Hold still.
This vulnerability piece that's
I wear contacts. So I'm used to getting my eyeball touched.
Now you are.
He does not wear contacts.
That's funny. Oh, good. Another question we had is, what are some of the most effective mental health and spiritual health habits you've developed to help you manage your beliefs, expectations towards yourself as a woman? So that's a lot of words mm-hmm. in there. I think I would kind of say, like, what tools, resources, and habits have you developed to do a good job in your life? What are the mm-hmm. – give me top three.
Yeah.
We'll go spiritual, mental, and beliefs.
Yeah, I think reading my Bible for spiritual growth, going to church, connecting with God's people, listening to the Holy Spirit. I think those are all normal tools that people use. You know, as far as mental health, I think exercise helps me clear my head. You know, just taking care of my body. Again, there's lots of books and things. Or just quick podcasts. Honestly, nowadays people have a hard time reading book cover to cover. But even a Bible study around mental health or anything from the Bible app, there's all these mm-hmm. things, right?
I think for me, you know, the mental health piece is knowing when I need help, like when I'm looping in my own story that mm-hmm. is not helpful. So I got to pull in somebody that's going to help disrupt this. So whether that's a counselor, that's a trusted friend, could be a book or a podcast, but I usually am going to somebody because I'm needing that level of accountability because I'm that headspace. I can listen to a podcast, but then I can twist it. So I need somebody to be like,
there's no accountability.
Yeah. I need some accountability when it comes to those things. Spiritual health. I mean, very much, diving into the Word of God. I mean, going and being in a corporate setting for worship and a message, it does something to my spirit that just helps recharge and chase after. So I love that. And I think my expectations, I have to be paying attention to, okay, I can't do it all. I can do it all, but I can't do it all right now. And so how do I need to adjust? So I feel like I live, when I'm successful, I live constantly in assessment of what is doable, what is not. Yeah. What's the priority, what is not. And it, just being honest with, it's okay that I can't do it all. Mm-hmm. I just got to do a good job with what I can do right here.
Yeah.
So last question, what's your primary goal in this current season of motherhood?
At this point, my goal as a mom is to be present, and just because my kids are grown and flown, they say, that I'm still a very big part of their lives, and so not getting so busy that I see you all the time, obviously, but my sons, they're boys, and I have to track them down sometimes, but most of the time I'm talking to them every week through a text nowadays, right? But I just think being present, that hasn't changed. You feel a little powerless as an adult parent sometimes because you can't jump in there and, you know, back when they wanted to quit the soccer team, you're like, okay, let's stay in there for another 6 months or something. But when they want to quit their jobs or they want to, you know, those are big swings that I don't have any say over. Mm-hmm. And so just accepting that, I think, is part of motherhood for me. Like, I'm going to be accepting whatever you're doing right now because I can't change it. So I could be really upset about it and throw a fit and yell at you or something, as if that would work. It would not.
Or withhold something and hoping
but
that
still you're loving you through you're very different than me, different values. All those things happen when you have adult kids, but we can agree on some things and focus on those things.
I think we have a lot of listeners that have adult children.
Yeah.
And the fear and anxiety of watching them struggle or make poor decisions sometimes has provoked them to jumping in, and then it causes friction and then distance, which mm-hmm. is the last thing.
Right.
That any
you can't
wants.
Help anyone from a distance very well.
Yeah. So your biggest goal would be prioritizing that connection piece is kind of
for sure. Like, how do I hold on to my side of the relationship? And vice versa, they're holding on to their side as well. But and I'm not saying my adult children are always making mistakes. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying that I have no say over mm-hmm. how they spend their day, who they're with, how they spend their money. And their success looks different for them. Mm-hmm. Like, the things that maybe I wanted them to do when they were young and they're not doing those things, let it go. Like, what are they doing? Yes, sing that song for me.
That's it. That's good. I mean, my goal would be similar in that I'm trying to do the best I can to stay connected as we are in teen and preteen season. We launched one out, and so we got one foot in adult parenting.
You're still in charge of her, though. Or I'm not in charge, but I mean,
she's still baby. She's still new to the adult.
She's in an adult world.
Yep. She's in the adult world, living somewhere else. Definitely not in charge of her. But she is, everything's new. So we got that going for us, and that she hasn't built up her confidence in being an adult. So she's like, how do I log into the bank? You know, and we're still learning all sorts of things. The other two at home, I think the thing that Ben and I keep talking about is really leaning in and paying attention to Delaney leaving the house has shifted what's going on in the home between the other two. So now it's just those two. So there's a different dynamic that we have going on, and I feel like we're all learning it still and learning what we need from each other and how it looks differently and, you know, learning that, oh, I didn't realize that Lincoln and Delaney had this relationship that no longer is existing like this. It's still a relationship that's beautiful, wonderful, but Delaney doesn't live here anymore. So what is he needing? Adeline, you know, she did get a phone for her birthday. So it's new phone for her, but, you know, she's talking to her sister all the time. And so there's just this new dynamic. So I feel like Ben and I are very intentionally paying attention to the new season that we're in, which is having two kids at home. Yeah. And just helping that be mm-hmm. successful again as we've changed the dynamic. And then watching Lainey over there going, how are you doing in the adult-only pool over there? How's that going? You know, yeah. So that's fun.
It's so interesting because you're talking about building connection and a strong foundation with your kids. And I'm talking about needing that later. Mm-hmm. You know, what you're doing now is investing in your relationship with your kids later, because control is an illusion. It's smoke and mirrors, really. You can't control another human. Maybe when they're little, you can pick them up and move them and all those things. But when you're in the thick of absolutely building that strong mm-hmm. core, you know, link between you and your kids, so that later on you can use that strong cord. And if you just chew it up with disrespect and disconnection, yeah. you won't have it later when you need it. So these early years with your kids, they, as you're experiencing, they go fast.
They go very fast.
But that's what you're using this time to build mm-hmm. for that future.
Absolutely. Because we believe around here that whole healthy families are going to save the world.
We do.
And you've got to do the work to invest in your family mm-hmm. and in yourself. But, well, it's a fun series. Yep. Thanks for joining me, Mom.
Yep.
And
thanks for having me.
Remember, we're going to have all the guys come. They're going to take over. It's going to be a guys' podcast mm-hmm. for a little while again. And they're going to be having lots of fun conversations, no doubt, and talking about great things. So you won't want to miss that. But thank you so much for joining us on The Kylo Show. And I will see you in a little bit.
Thanks for listening. Never miss an episode of The Kylo Show by subscribing to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or watch us on the Loving on Purpose YouTube channel. Don't forget to submit your questions and testimonies to thekyloshow.com. The Kylo Show is produced by Ali Armading, co-produced by Ashley Beck and Anna Hill, and show promoter Christian Zamora. Don't forget, whole healthy families are going to save the world.